Hello and welcome to the Friday, December 14th, 2012 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm today recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Well, let's start today with some Apple malware. We haven't talked about OS X malware in a while. This one came out actually earlier this week, but with all the Microsoft patches and such to cover, didn't really get to it. The name of the malware is SMS Send, and it typically arrives as what appears to be legitimate software, where the user downloaded software. Of course, the user thinks it is some commercial software they didn't pay for, and then when they install the software, they're presented with an activation screen. In this activation screen, they're asked to enter a cell phone number, and then an activation code is sent to that cell phone number that they will type into the installation screen, and the installation of the software will proceed. The trick here is that this process of actually accepting the SMS message and passing that code on to the attacker in this case allows them to deduct money from your cell phone account. They're essentially using one of those pay by SMS kind of schemes where you give the merchant your cell phone number, and then in order to approve the transaction, you give them the code they're sending to that number. And that's exactly what they're doing here. In response, Apple updated its XProtect service on OS X, so you should be okay by now. Make sure that you have that all enabled and working correctly. And PayPal is reporting that it fixed yet another cross-site scripting vulnerability that was found by Vulnerability Lab as part of the PayPal Vulnerability Bounty Program. The exploit is somewhat tricky. Essentially, one user has to add a crafted address book record into their address book, and then the victim has to search for that particular address record in order for the exploit to really work. But regardless, if the exploit would have worked, it would have led to a compromise of cookies and the account of the victim. The flaw was found originally in June, but fixed earlier this week. And while we're talking about vulnerability bounty programs, there are of course also sites that sell vulnerabilities like Exploit Hub. Well, Exploit Hub got breached itself. In this breach, the database behind the web application for Exploit Hub got dumped and published. Apparently, this was not as so often a SQL injection exploit, but instead the managers of this particular server left behind an install script that was found by the attacker and then used to break into the web server and dump the database. However, this database does not include the actual exploits, according to Exploit Hub, just information about the nature of the exploit and a little description about what the exploit does, and then of course how much the finder of the exploit would like to make from selling the particular code. And at this point, only that data was leaked and no actual exploit code was leaked. So it appears that Exploit Hub's description of the breach is correct. And if you're developing apps for Windows 8, you should take a look at an article by Justin Angel. He found out how to break some of the DRM, the digital rights management, in those apps. The mistake that was made here is pretty standard in that the encryption keys kept on the device itself. So what can happen, for example, is that someone who owns the application can manipulate it to, for example, enable additional features that you would like to provide as an in-app purchase, or in one case where the application uses its own currency, its own gold, the attacker could then add additional currency to the game. Essentially, what you have to do to protect your application is to add your own system to manage this, preferably on the server. Now, even that can be circumvented in some cases, as Justin Angel showed. For example, Internet Explorer can be used to inject a JavaScript into the communication to the server, and then that could be used to manipulate the request or the response coming back. So again, you want to protect that communication if you're developing Windows 8 apps. But overall, it really comes down to a big problem we discuss in many of our courses, that you can't really store all of this on the client. You need server validation. Anyway, this is it for today. So thanks again for listening. Just as a reminder, next week will be sporadic podcasts, probably none on Monday and Tuesday. We'll see how it goes for the later part of the week, just due to some more excessive travel and the holiday week.